Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
G&D on the Fan. I'm solo with you for the next 90. Taking you up to 6:30 in Nats baseball tonight with Charlie and Dave. Whether you're listening on 106.7 or on our Richmond affiliates, AM 910, FM 105.1, or on the Odyssey app, take us with you everywhere and anywhere on the Odyssey app for free. Really, really appreciate you making the show part of your day. It means a lot. You know, we've been focusing on the guys who haven't been at OTAs, but maybe for a second, if we could, positively, we could focus on a couple of feel-good stories of players who are at OTAs this week, because I think this will make everybody feel better as they're driving around or listening on their smart devices at home. Did you know DeMar Hamlin was on the practice field yesterday for the Buffalo Bills? What a story this is. Less than 5 months after he suffered cardiac arrest, DeMar Hamlin returned to the field on Tuesday for individual drills. At the Bills training facility, Buffalo is proceeding cautiously with Hamlin, who has yet to take part in a full practice but will soon. He's going to play football this year. We overuse the word heroes, specifically maybe in athletics, but just in general in life. The people that revived him on the field are literal heroes. What an amazing thing it must be for them to see him flourish as a human being and just live. By flourish, I mean walk, move, speak, talk, live. Be alive. He died on the field. For minutes, he was resuscitated. For days, hours, he was fighting for his life. For days, he was just fighting to get back to some semblance of normalcy. And in the most stunning and unbelievable twist, for a while, we just wondered, is he going to be alive? Then it was, is he going to walk? Then it was, is he going to function normally? He's going to be on the field in September for the Bills, man. That is so incredible and so amazing. So first of all, I take my hat off to DeMar Hamlin. But to every person that was involved in his revitalization in the moment on the field and in life since, what an accomplishment. There might never be a player easier to root for than DeMar Hamlin this season. So that would be number one on the positive story front. And then Foster Moreau was at Saints OTAs. I couldn't believe that. He was on the practice field with his team. For those of you that don't know his story, he played for the Raiders last year. Was their backup tight end to Darren Waller. And so that means you'd play a lot because Darren Waller never plays and he's always hurt. And you know this if he's on your fantasy team. He's so talented and so incredibly gifted, but he just can't stay on the field. He's now with the New York Giants. Foster Moreau was diagnosed 2 months ago with Hodgkin's lymphoma. I guess he's got a full, clean bill of health at this point. I don't know if treatments are still ongoing or how that works, but he was practicing this week. Medicine really is amazing, and it's silly for me, who knows nothing about what doctors and nurses and smart people who are wearing scrubs do to help and save people in hospitals, but what a win for everybody it is that he's back on the field, that DeMar Hamlin is practicing. Pretty cool. Figured if we're going to be discussing players that aren't there and getting into something that makes people angry and is somewhat divisive, I suppose, we could balance it out with a couple of those anecdotes to maybe feel good. I should let you know that at 6 o'clock in about 50 minutes, Ben Standing of The Athletic, who was at the training facility today, talking with Ron Rivera, is going to join me. We'll get all the specifics from him on practice, including how Sam Howell looked. And at that time at 6, I will give away the LIV golf tickets we've been telling you about having today, right here on Grant and Danny. The question for you guys is on Chase Young. Yesterday we opined, Danny and I, in differing degrees. He was very, very angry that Chase wasn't there. I was more surprised and disappointed after his career goes this way. Going into his rookie season, he did everything he could all offseason, everything available to him he opted into, and he had a really productive year where he got hardware. He went to an award show and accepted an award as the Defensive Rookie of the Year, and he was on his way. Since then, he has not done all of the opt-in things, and it hasn't gone the same way. And so I was just thinking, hey, now that it's a put-up-or-shut-up, make-it-or-break-it kind of year, they didn't pick up your option, you're going to get back to what you did early on in your career when things were going a lot better. And he didn't. So I was disappointed in that. But we don't need to debate whether he should be at practice or not. I think the better conversation is, do you think his lack of opting in has hindered him with this staff to the point where they didn't pick up his option? Or is it simply about maybe a concern over the health of the knee or production? And you could call me to answer at 800-636-1067. Mike's in Fredericksburg. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
And the Lamar Hammond thing, you know, I'd never seen anything like that in my life. I've been watching football for 40 years, and when I saw that guy down on the ground and the game, and he came up, and he's getting ready to play again, that's just amazing.
Well, I hope you never know, see it again. I'll be honest. Nobody has.
Yeah, I hope.
Nobody's ever seen anything like that.
Yeah, but going back to Chase Young, he's a PAB because he doesn't care. He's all in for the money. You know, he's out making money, and he's never going to be anything like Kerrigan, Arakpo, Man or Manley. He's too pretty. He thinks he's too pretty and too good, and they should just cut their ties and get rid of him right now.
What's the acronym you used? What did that mean?
PAB. The guy told me I couldn't say it on the radio, but figure it out. PAB.
I don't know what that means. Thank you. Whatever that means. Here's what I think. Chase Young, Montez Sweat, Ryan Kerrigan, Brian Arakpo, you put them all into kind of a blender and you pull them out one by one. I think you mentioned Mann and Manley. Like, Manley's on his own level. Greatest pass rusher very likely in team history, right? Kerrigan is the most productive. All the guy did is post every year, 11.5, 12.5, 13 sacks. Kind of the anti-Chase in that. I would say it was a little more will than skill. He was gifted. He was talented. Don't get me wrong. Broke the Big Ten record for sack fumbles. Came out in the first round just outside of the top 10. It's not like he was some scrub who played at some directional Michigan or something. A really good player at Purdue. But at every practice, at every workout, counted every shrimp he ate all offseason and logged it in a journal to make sure he would always be available. And he got the most out of it. Now, then you go to Charles Mann. And then after that, you can kind of work in Arakpo and Sweat. Chase is behind those guys. But if you want to talk about talent, upside, ceiling, potential, Chase Young has still, to this moment, assuming his knee is okay, assuming he's going to get back to full flexibility, agility, burst, twitch, whatever you want to call it, 100% of what he was before the injury, he still has a chance to be as good or better than any defensive edge that has ever played for this team. The skill, and that is to say speed and strength, that combination in tandem for him is more special than any of those other guys had, than 99.9% of any edge rushers in the National Football League have ever had. That's why the hype existed. It was smart people who study film, defensive coaches, defensive minds, you know, people who played in the league for years. They would put on the college film and they would say, this guy is going to wreck games. This is a world eater. This is a DPOY Defensive Player of the Year. This is Nick Bosa. This is, TJ Watt. It hadn't happened. And frankly, I watch him and I go, I don't see why people thought that or believed that or saw that. Because I don't see the moves and the diversification of the tricks in the bag to get to the quarterback. But smarter people than me all saw it when he came out. And you have to imagine that potential is still there. Let's go to Mike, who's in Northern Virginia. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
I want to say, you guys don't have nothing else to talk about for 2 days. So if this problem, why didn't you guys trade him before the draft?
Why didn't I? I don't control the roster. That's why I didn't trade
him. I'm not saying you. I'm saying the coaching staff.
Well, they a couple of reasons, probably. Number one, they have
name
to.
One.
I will. That's what I was about to do. Number one, they have to win this season. So they're not going to win.
They're not going to win.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me answer. You asked me a question. Number one, they have to win this season. So to trade him, you're going to get future draft picks back. They're probably not going to be here in the future. So to them, to trade Chase Young, who was a number two overall pick, for future draft picks in a got-to-have-it year to save all their jobs, doesn't make a lot of sense. That's number one. Number two, they wouldn't trade him because, for the same reason you wouldn't sell your house at a time where the market is the worst that it's been in the last few years. They would be trading Chase Young right now for 40 cents on the dollar. That's bad business. So ideally, you hope that he improves and you recoup some of the asset.
Well, if I had a rodent problem in the home, I would definitely get rid of it. And secondly, how you saying they got to win. How they going to win with that offensive line that you explained about 2 hours ago?
It's going to be tough. We're going to talk about that offensive line in a little bit.
But for 2 days, you talk about a guy. This is supposed to be voluntary. It's not mandatory. And we got four
months.
Wait,
hold on. The practices are voluntary?
Didn't they say this is voluntary?
Oh, I didn't realize. Then never mind then, if they're voluntary.
And then you got about, 4.5 months before you have a preseason game?
Yes.
I mean, I don't understand why you guys are tripping about nothing.
Well, it's not nothing.
Airtime about
it's not nothing.
I mean, talk about the guy who just got injured.
Well, don't program our show. How about that? We got a run. We get a meeting every night where we put together a rundown. If you want to join us and tell us what to talk about, you should do so.
I mean, this guy—it's ridiculous. You're wasting dead time talking about nothing.
So let me ask you a question.
For 2 days.
So we talk about sports for 4.5 hours. DC Sports on the radio. Okay. Yesterday, the two biggest stories were Chase Young's absence at OTAs and Juan Soto coming back to DC. That means that those are the two things we'll talk the most about during that given day. You're saying it's nothing, but it isn't nothing. It's a pretty compelling story. This happened a year ago. The coach was really upset about it. They opted out of an extra year of his services within the last couple of months and one of the biggest – last couple of weeks, I should say. And one of the biggest stories with this organization, the number one most talked about organization with the biggest fan base in DC sports, which is what we cover on our little beat here on the show, one of the biggest stories is what kind of season is this guy going to have? And the first practices that they have of an offseason, he's not there for that. How is that? That is absolutely a story.
The biggest story that happened was Daniel Snyder getting
correct. I said one of the biggest stories. From a football standpoint, one of their biggest stories is what kind of year is Chase Young going to have? And is the number two overall pick who was on every billboard the second they drafted him, is he going to end up performing or not? Because for 2 years, he has been Casey Tuhill, and they need him to be a game wrecker.
You forget the major injury that my man had.
I didn't forget.
If he didn't have the injury, he would be all right. He has the injury. And you guys forced him to come back before he was healed.
I didn't force him to do anything, I promise.
I mean, just the media, the way you guys...
No. The media didn't dictate when he comes back. Doctors and a coaching staff did that. And by the way, he didn't come back quickly.
You're talking about the doctor staff of the Commanders, that the personal trainer was convicted of selling narcotics?
He hasn't been with the team for 2 years.
I mean, but the whole organization is garbage.
Well, that's another conversation I'd love to have with you at some point.
That's what you should be talking about. Facts,
we talk about it a lot, actually.
Facts. Come on, man. Facts. Come on. Cut it out.
I agree. Thank you for the call. Appreciate you. We talk about the team not being particularly good a lot. As a matter of fact, it's kind of what we major in on the show. We get called haters for it pretty frequently. But I appreciate your thoughts. We'll disagree on whether or not it's a big story that Chase Young isn't at practice. What they need desperately, though, is for him to make an impact this season. He's got to perform. They need production from him. If your great players don't play great, you don't win. And if they don't win, their GM is gone, their head coach is gone, all the other front office people are out, and they're starting over next season. Let's go to Drew, who's in Fredericksburg. Drew, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, Grant. I just wanted your opinion. If you think if they gave Chase Young the fifth-year option, do you think he would be at OTAs today?
No.
I honestly think that, too. I think he's not a very humble guy at all, and he's full of himself, that's for sure.
Well, here's what's interesting. I mean, it's actually a great question. Had they have picked up the fifth-year option, would he be there? I suppose it's a possibility. I say no because the precedent in the past that he set was that he wasn't going to show up for these things. 2 years ago, when contract wasn't in any way an issue, he was entering the second year of his rookie deal. He was coming off being the rookie of the year. He was the toast of the town. Everyone in the fan base loved him. Jerseys flying off the racks. Media writing stories about how he's the next great thing. He didn't come to practice then. And when he was asked about it, he said, "I was making that money, boss. I don't have a problem with anybody making money. You should make all the money that you can while you can because careers are short." But there's only a few days during the entire offseason. The offseason spans from, for Washington, it starts in January. For the good teams, it starts in February. February, March, April, May, June, and July, and August, right? That's several months where you can work out times with your agents to film things and do things. There are generally right around between 9 and 12 days of practices before training camp in July. You can make yourself available for those. He chose not to, which at the time, go back, wasn't a huge deal. I said I'd prefer him to do this. This is supposedly their captain and their leader and the guy that's going to give all their speeches and everyone's going to take cues from this player for years to come. I would like him to be in the facility on optional days like TJ Watt is today for the Steelers and so many of the other great players in the league defensively. But it really wasn't that big of a deal because at that time, he was getting an A-plus in the course. You don't need extra credit. You don't need to come to my office hours if you're getting an A-plus. But his grade's not A-plus anymore. The injury that the last caller mentioned, which we talk about all the time, is that a really serious, awful thing. And it stinks for him. I feel terrible for Chase that happened. It's the biggest reason, as I said about 15 minutes ago, maybe 20 minutes ago now, why he hasn't performed over the last 2 years is because he's missed 22 of 34 games with a torn ACL. He's played in 12, and three of those were coming back from a really serious injury when he was getting his sea legs back under him. But he had 9 games before that injury in his second season, after an offseason where he elected not to do a bunch of things that all his teammates were doing, where in those 9 games he had a sack and a half. In those 9 games, 7th-round pick James Smith-Williams outperformed him. You can choose not to care about that. That's perfectly fine. It's just 9 games. It's just a half season, basically, right? My point is, the sample when he was on the field here very recently, over the last 13 games, 3 last year, I'll grade those on a curve because he was coming back, 9 the previous season fully healthy, or at least healthy enough to be on the field pre-ACL, and in the playoff game in January, the last game he played in his very impressive rookie season, the sample was a sack and a half and a couple tackles for loss. Undrafted free agents who make teams called, they want their numbers back. It's not a beat-up Chase Young session. The point is just heavy lies the crown here. There's a lot expected of this guy. Do all you can do, and no one's going to bug you. If he just showed up all the time and underperformed, there would be people screaming at him, I'm sure. But at least you knew he was controlling the controllables. The effort was there. If this show got terrible ratings, awful ratings. But I every single day was here 3 hours before the show and left an hour after, and we were booking great guests, and we were doing all the things we're supposed to do, and we're checking every box. My boss can go to corporate when they say fire that guy, and he can go, I'm not sure. I think these guys are doing a good show. The numbers just aren't working in their favor. But if I show up late, miss segments, not able to deliver the product that I'm supposed to, and the work isn't getting done, and I'm not doing the stuff I need to do that leads to production, no one's standing on the table for me. That's an optics issue. But I actually think that's a fascinating question about the fifth-year option. I would say no based on history and kind of prologue. But maybe he would. And I don't necessarily, for the record, think that makes this better. Like, I've had a lot of people hit me up and say, hey, he's mad that they didn't pick up the fifth-year option. They didn't invest in him. Why is he going to invest in them? Because his career's on the line. Forget them. You need to go get a dozen sacks this year. Work out for the Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, whatever team's signing you this offseason. That's why you should be at the facility now. Because it's not, screw them. It's about you. You're going into the fourth and final year of your rookie deal because they chose not to pick up the fifth year. And there's a lot of people around the league going, all right, well, over the last 2 years, you ranked 90th in this, 88th in that, 57th in this, mostly because of the injury. But you got to bounce back. And if he does, that's awesome. They win, he wins, everyone wins. You can walk or they'll have to tag you, and now you're making $25 million a year. And you can pop bottles and you can go celebrate with your buddies, and you don't have to come to OTAs anymore because you've arrived. But we're doing the celebrating and arrival part before you had the season that it gets you paid for the rest of your career. I think that's the frustration for a lot of people. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. As much a topic as this is, I've got much larger concerns for the Commanders than Chase Young. I've got a list I put together here of things that have me a little nervous going into the season. I want to know what your biggest concern around this roster is at this point on May 24th in the first of three phases of these practice OTAs. Grant and Danny, sans Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
G&D without Danny right now on the Fan. I'm taking you up to 6:30. Charlie and Dave in pregame at that time. Nats baseball just after 7. They'll need a win tonight to pull even in their best of three series with the Padres, setting up a rubber match tomorrow over at Nationals Park. So the Commanders were on the practice field today. I saw a tweet, and I don't even remember which reporter it was. One of the folks that was out there kind of gave the offensive line starters, just listed them. And it was a pretty stunning realization for me to think, my goodness, if something happens to Charles Leno, their starting offensive line, which was their line today in front of Sam Howell with the ones in drills, is going to be Andrew Wiley, Sam Cosmi, Nick Gates, Jamal Charles is a former running back. Sadiq Charles and Cornelius Lucas. So that's right to left, right? Wiley, who had 9 sacks he gave up with the Chiefs. Cosmi was drafted as a tackle, hadn't played guard in years. They'd kick him inside to play guard. Hopefully he can do it. They think he can. Nick Gates, who is a at best probably an average but below average center with the New York Giants, who they've signed coming off of an injury. Sadiq Charles, who is a mid-round pick they got in the Trent Williams trade compensation, who has mostly been hurt but has not really flashed the way that you'd be hoping for. He did have one game where he was looked pretty promising. And then Cornelius Lucas, who is a swing tackle, third tackle type. But can you think about Sam Howell, your starting quarterback, fifth-round pick, you've elevated, you've given him this opportunity at this immensely dependent position, the most important position in sports. 3 hours after the season ended, they were getting the word out to anyone who would listen. Sam Howell's our guy. We're rolling with the kid. We're going with the rookie contract. The best asset you can have in sports. We're going to surround him with talent. We're going to build up the offensive line. The plan sounded amazing. I loved it. I signed off on it right away. They put it on my desk. I picked up my pen. My signature was there. Perfect. Sam Howlett, no money. Let's go get some linemen. And then I waited. Then I waited some more. And they had options, and they had money, and they had draft picks, and they got a center who's actually played a bunch of guard, but he's a center for them, and who is a guy. And they got a tackle who's played a lot of guard, but he's a tackle now, and he was a tackle last year, who their coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, stood on the table for. But I just can't fathom confidence for Bieniemy and Rivera going into the season that these are the guys that are going to make sure that Sam Howell has the time necessary as a young quarterback to process and make decisions and get the ball out. It's my biggest concern about this team. Rivera talked about the offensive line today, one of the last questions in his presser. This is what the fourth year head coach and the grand poobah of football ops had to say.
The changes up front that that you've made on the offensive line and elevating Travell Wharton to O-line coach, what more are you hoping to see from this unit this season?
Just continued growth. I mean, we've got some young guys that have been tagged to get some big opportunities. You know, we've right now got Sam at staying the guy at right guard. And Sadiq is getting the opportunity at left guard to start off with Chris Paul right behind him. I think, again, what it's done is it's kind of push some of these young guys into the forefront. But, making the commitment that we did going out and getting a couple of guys right off the bat in free agency and then signing another one afterwards, then drafting a couple. One of the things we want to do is we want to try and improve the depth, and I think we've done that as well. So just watch them continue to work together.
I don't think that's coach speak, right? I don't think he's just saying we like our guys. Everything we need is in this room. Their actions proved they really legitimately and genuinely think they built a really good offensive line. And let's hope they did. Last year, they felt good about the linebacking room. I screamed all offseason and lost my voice. I didn't like it. They ended up being right. They play two linebackers, sometimes one. They ended up not really needing linebackers. Jamin Davis still doesn't look like a first-round pick, but got better to the point where he is playable and rosterable and looks fine. Looks like an average NFL linebacker now. So that's a huge win. And guys like David Mayo played occasionally. And it didn't matter because it's such a small part of their defense now. They knew more than we did. That's the idea. Great. You guys win. Congratulations. But they didn't win at every position. You know, they lost at quarterback, where a lot of us said, really? Carson Wentz? For all that? That seems like a lot. No, we're right. You're wrong. We don't have questions. You do. Big time L. So they're not always right. This offseason, O-line, it doesn't make sense to me. Tight end doesn't make sense to me. And we're going to see if they're right. But they are self-assured and they are self-confident in what they've done along the O-line. And if, frankly, if they had a veteran quarterback, I probably wouldn't care as much. The part that is so confounding to me is that you've got a neophyte passer and this kid who's thrown 20 passes and you are putting the entire organization on his shoulders. And to help him, here's a journeyman at guard. Well, I should say a center who's never graded out favorably via PFF, a guard who has not been a starter for you over the last few years, a guard who's a failed tackle, a tackle who gave up 9 sacks last year. and then a left tackle who's played pretty well. Like that's what you've got. But you're an injury away from a swing tackle being the other anchor on the O-line, as we saw today at practice with Leno not there. It's just staggering to me. That's my biggest concern. I can get into why I'm not sold about the tight end room either, and that was before the injury to Armani Rodgers. We found out today, ruptured Achilles, out for the year. They still have Logan Thomas, John Bates, and Cole Turner, and it's now time for Cole Turner to spread his wings and leave the nest. I mean, he just has to make huge leaps this season as a pass catcher. Let's go to Derek in D.C. What's your biggest concern on May 24th about this outfit?
It's coaching and it's culture. I can't understand, Brant, for the life of me, why you can't stand up and say, he should be here. He should be here. He should be in camp. I mean, name a player that was ever great that wasn't the first one to get there and the last to leave.
Are you saying you don't know why Rivera didn't say that he wants Chase Young there today? Is that what you mean?
No, what I'm saying is that I can't understand why he mollycoddles him. He basically, that's a mollycoddle, Gramps' word. Basically just, you know, it's okay. He's going to be all right. He'll be here. Everything's okay. Forget that. Show up. Be there. I mean, if you ever had a teammate that wasn't there, would you, like, respect that? Would you think that that's the guy that you want to fight your life with or be a great teammate? It's just driving me nuts.
Thanks, Derek. Remember, Rivera last year did kind of do what you wanted, and he has in the past. He called out his maturity. He questioned him in a column written by his buddy, Mike Silver, on the team's website by name. He issued a challenge to show up to these very activities the last time he was healthy. I mean, he has taken the other tact. I wonder if it backfired or the relationship in some way was affected because, to your point, it's a very different tone today when he was asked about it and he basically said he'll be here when he needs to be. But those are the words he's saying publicly. We found out yesterday with no media members there that he wasn't there. So somebody with the team, organizationally, was okay with word getting out, right? Number one. And number two, I would just add that they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. So whatever he says about, yeah, we're really happy with Chase. We think he's in a good place. We trust that the knee's healthy. We think he's going to have a huge year. We love where he's at. You love him so much, and you love where he's at so much that you had a chance to pick up the fifth year of his rookie deal at a way lower rate than what it will cost to have him on your team if you don't do that. And they said, no, thank you. Follow the actions. They are louder and more accurate to the true feelings of a team than the words. For me, it's the O-line. What are you guys worried about? First of three batches of practices, and today without Leno, the line looked like it was largely made up of backups, and it's their starting group. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Grant and Danny without Danny, rest of the way here on the Fan. Ben Standig joins me from The Athletic, was out in Ashburn at OTAs today. He stops by in 12 minutes at 6 o'clock. That's when I'm giving away tickets to Live Golf over at Trump National this weekend. If you want field passes, want to get out there with a buddy, I got a pair of tickets for you at 6. Got to be listening right here on The Fan. Nats baseball tonight. They play at 7:05. Trevor Williams on the bump. See if we can keep Juan Soto in the yard tonight, huh? 3 hits, on base 4 times, and a 440-foot bolt in his return to Nationals Park yesterday off Mackenzie Gore. By the way, Mackenzie Gore going to be our guest on Bustin' Loose Baseball, which will come your way, our new episode, tomorrow. So make sure you subscribe, rate, review, download that podcast wherever you can. Myself, Toby, Danny still contributes. Bustin' Loose Baseball if you want more Nats content. We'll give you a full preview of their game before we get out of here in just a little bit, next half hour. Let's go to Chris in Oxenhill, wants to jump in. The O-line tight end have me a little worried as far as personnel groupings. What's your biggest Commander's concern in late May?
Hey, how's it going, Grant? I definitely want to say, you know, my main concern is the offensive line. I agree with you 100%. You know, during the offseason, I don't feel like they did enough to touch up on that, and especially if we're going with, you know, he's not a rookie technically, but he's still, basically, you know, he's still wet behind the ears, so to speak. So, you know, and, you know, I always got to take it back to wrestling. It's like, think about it. If we said that the Street Profits were going to be in a tag team match for the titles, and then we go to Capital One Arena, and then we're like, oh, man, the Street Profits are going to be here for the title, and then we get there, and no Street Profits. It's just a whole bunch of other people getting thrown in there, and they're going to say, oh, it's still going to be a good show, so make sure you come out. That's kind of what Ron is doing to us, I feel. I feel like he's telling us that the offensive line is going to be great, but I'm not 100% sure about
that. I love that Chris has a thing. Every time he calls, no matter what we're talking about, he goes for a wrestling analogy.
Oh, it's the Street Profits.
Let's go to Sean in Winchester. What's up, Sean?
What's going on, Grant? Man, I called for 2 reasons. I guess I heard the one caller call in about Chase Young, and I wanted to come to your defense on that and y'all's station on the defense on it, because I don't think you guys are out to just be haters or whatnot. Chase Young is on the verge of being a bust, and that's a fact, as he kept saying, a fact. I don't understand if you didn't see that second year before he got injured. He was a no-show. He was he was like a Bruce Smith or something. He was real close, but he wasn't nowhere near getting to the quarterback. You know, and as far as my concern for the Skins at this point, it would definitely be the offensive line. I think we're all kind of spoiled, though. I grew up with Chris Samuels and John Jansen and Corey Raymer and things like that. So I think hopefully an organic line will grow out of what the guys they've thrown together.
I hope you're right, and I appreciate the call, and it's kind of neat to say, look, there's no defense needed. The fact is, I've done this now a long time, and what I have decided, the realization I've come to is, and I think this is important for life, honestly, people hear what they want to hear. People see what they want to see. If you think that I am fair and reasonable, like I like to think that I am, you'll hear that. You'll hear me present both sides, and you'll hear me acknowledge a lot of things that are pro, in this case, Chase Young. But if you come into this having decided that the media in D.C. is negative, or that they hate the team, or that they're the problem, though, you're going to hear what you want to hear. I can't imagine being a grown adult and thinking that any criticism of an underperforming professional is unfair. I have a guy on Twitter yesterday saying, you guys are growth. Ugh. A sports radio show that for 4.5 hours chronicles and analyzes sports in this town, discussing one of the most important players in this town is a lot of things. It's not gross. Get over yourself. So, but people are going to hear and think what they want. My job is not to convince them that I'm not a hater. My job is to try to analytically assess as many situations on the teams and the players you guys care about every day. Some people will like that. Some people won't. I learned a long time ago. When I was a beat reporter, a lot of people liked me. It was super fun. I was popular. People loved me. They're like, oh, that's great. You're giving me all the news. I didn't have to give you opinions. I just gave you the facts. I just gave you the information. Now I'm a columnist. I get paid for my opinion, and I give it to you for 4.5 hours a day. I write 100 columns a day. Barry's for Lucas, my guy. He might write one every couple of days. I'm writing a column a segment. You're not going to like me all the time. I'm not lucky enough to have a job where my approval rating is going to be 100%. So if you don't like what you hear, that's okay. You don't have to. But there's two groups of people. There are people who think that process matters and doing everything that you can and controlling the controllables when you've underperformed is a good idea. I'm one of those people, by the way. And then there are people who think things don't matter, that you don't have to go to this thing, so you shouldn't. And who cares if over 2 years, every step of the way, you've underperformed and underdelivered? I'm just not in that group. Here's where we agree. We both root for the kid, and we hope he has 15 sacks this year. Everybody wins if that happens. I hope that he does. Ben Standig next, and I'm giving away LIV golf tickets. Grant and Danny without Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.